5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Hey, welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Wednesday, April 24th edition of Talk Back. And Talk Back this morning is brought to you by Phillips Janitorial, where they offer both residential and commercial cleaning. And, of course, no job is too big or small. Your satisfaction guaranteed. Call 406-260-6617. Also brought to you by Y West Storage, out of the Y, of course, on Two Smokes Way. Find out if they have a unit for you by calling 406-510-0590, because at Y West, we're making room for you. And by Harrington Surgical Supply, where their mission remains the same, to restore confidence and comfort into your daily life.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Okay, here we are. This is TalkBack for this Wednesday. I'm Peter Christian. That, of course, is Mr. Nick Christensen. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
All right. We have special guests in the studio this morning, and we're going to be talking about God stuff.
God stuff. There you go.
Yes.
If that's okay with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Especially. What an intro.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. It's not Godspell, it's God stuff.
God stuff. Yes.
All right. In the studio with us, we have Mike Mueller and Dr. Kevin Horton. And pretty soon we're going to be having Bruce Malone with Tell the Truth Ministries. It's all about the Taking Back American Culture Conference. It's coming up at Cross Point Church starting tomorrow. So, gentlemen, let's get rolling here. Tell us why you're here. What you're doing?
Well, good morning,
Peter. This is Kevin. Go ahead.
Good morning, Nick. Good morning, Peter. First, I just want to lead off with thanking you too and what you do here. I try to listen every morning, and boy, what a great venue. What a great forum to bring together opinions and ideas and share information and just this free exchange. So thank you for what you do and letting us come in again. So Dr. Horton and myself, I'm the president of the Institute for Biblical Authority. Dr. Horton is executive director. It's a nonprofit that we started about 8, 9, 10 years ago down in the Bitterroot Valley, the Institute for Biblical Authority. And our passion is, number one, talking about the absolute truth and of the Bible, and we talk a lot about that, and Dr. Horton has a theology degree. And then also our passion is talking about how science supports the Bible like never before. These are fun things to talk about, so we're really looking forward to hitting on various subjects today. But yes, we're calling this conference, and as you know, we've had conferences in the area over the last several years, starting back in 2015, believe it or not.
Unbelievable. It's hard to believe that long.
One thing we try to do is have conferences in this part of the country, because we noticed 10 plus years ago, we weren't getting creation scientists and this kind of information in this part of the world. And so we thought, let's start bringing those guys in here and sharing this kind of information around Montana.
You can't beat the created beauty around us.
Oh, my gosh. Did you see the moon this morning?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
It was amazing.
Incredible. Fine-tuning of the universe and our solar system. Those kinds of things that couldn't be there by chance. That kind of a thing. So, anyway, our first conference was held, I think, at the University of Montana with Ken Ham and the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum out of Kentucky.
Weren't you guys here talking about that on our
Absolutely.
Show?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yes, right. Yeah,
thank you. We've been here several times. And so we've got another conference coming up. We're just going to put it out there. We feel like this is our time, taking back American culture, proclaiming Jesus as creator, Savior, and hope in the gospel. Boy, we all need hope today. It's a crazy world, and Dr. Horton a lot of time teaches about some of the things today and how they line up with what the Bible tells us. But yeah, this is a free conference, guys. There are field trips, and it's a free conference. It'll be held at Cross Point Church. They're sponsoring it and sponsored by IBA, us, and Search for the Truth. It starts with a first sessions Thursday night, and then we go into the kickoff, really, of the conference Friday, this Friday at 6 p.m. at Cross Point Church. And I'll say this early on, go to IBA777.org for information. So write that down, IBA777.org. For information and to register for any of the events. We kind of like to keep track of how many people we get coming in because capacity is limited. But you'll find all the information for this conference at that website. So Friday night we kick it off, and then Saturday we have sessions in the morning and the afternoon for adults and including youth. We want to spend some time with these national, international speakers that are coming in to spend some time with the youth. So a lot to talk about with this conference.
All right, we're just getting started. We're going to be here for 2 hours, ladies and gentlemen. 721-1290 is our number. If you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-568-5309. You can also use the KGBO app and hit the Message Us button if you're listening anywhere around the world, which you can on the KGBO app. We'd love to hear from you as well. So we're going to come right back and continue this great conversation. We'll be back right after this.
Dennis Bragg with your updated Town Square weather forecast. Increasing clouds Wednesday, but warm with highs near 72 degrees. The overcast will continue through most of Wednesday night, and that should keep us warmer than the past few mornings with lows around 40. After a mix of sun and cloud Thursday, the weather will start to fall apart for the upcoming weekend. There's a 20% chance of showers starting Thursday around midnight, and by Friday afternoon, we're seeing some persistent rain that's expected to continue into Saturday and likely through the weekend.
Hey, we are back. This is Talk Back. And again, we're talking with Mike Mueller and Dr. Kevin Horton, also joining us here in the studio this morning. And Dr. Horton, during the break, we were kind of musing a little bit about the fact that Lake Missoula, folks who just move into Missoula, we're living in a beautiful valley, kind of carved out somehow, right?
Yeah.
And so here we are, surrounded by evidence all over the place of a massive lake that sat right where we are right now.
Well, yeah, you know, it's interesting, Peter, you say that, because when I moved here from North Dakota. Well, originally from Iowa, but North Dakota originally. And we would see these lines on the hills, and they would be up and down from animals and from wind. And then I came here, and I could see these lines on the mountain, and they're perfectly parallel.
Right.
And I looked at those for 20 years, not knowing what that was. And finally, I found out there's a professor, I believe it's Arndt, but I'm not sure I got his name right, wrote a book about Lake Missoula, and then I found Michael Ord, who's coming on in a little bit, wrote about Lake Missoula, and I started looking at this and saying, wow, this is amazing that we're under 950 feet of water here, and you can see the lines of the shorelines up the side of the mountain. And so I started reading these books, and then I saw the water ripples, the giant water ripples of Camas Prairie. Do you know where that is?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so not many people do, but it's out past Ravalli on your way to Hot Springs on Highway 200. You turn off. And so I saw these pictures of this, and I said, wow, I'd like to get a look at these.
You got to get feet on the ground on that.
But when you get there, you can't really see them well.
Hmm.
And so
you have to get a bird's
above.
Eye view. Right.
And so I got a drone. Right. I talked my board into buying a good photography drone. And we won't talk about the one that's at the bottom of Sealy Lake. Yeah. Okay, there's a learning curve on those things.
Gee, Dad, can I have a drone?
Drone, yeah. It was kind of that way, only these are not the little $200
right,
ones.
Right.
These are the $1,500, and my new one's $2,000. And anyways, So I flew this, and I went, oh, my goodness, look at this. And then what I thought was, well, how about if I take it out in Washington State and see what floods do? So I started flying all around Washington State, the path of the Lake Missoula flood. And it's really kind of amazing to quantify things that you don't see from the road, because the roads go around them. You can't go through these canyons. They just pop up everywhere. So I've flown those, and I've quantified what massive floods do. And this is really quite interesting. I've developed it into a talk, and I'll be showing this Saturday. But what's really cool is I'm taking people out. Anybody who wants to go, you do want to sign up for this on our website, iba777.org. And I'm going to take people out, and you're going to see those giant water ripples in Camas Prairie Friday, meet 10 o'clock at Cross Point, and I'll take you out there, and you'll see it. And we'll bring two drones, so you'll be able to fly it and look at it. But anyways, I quantified all that, and then I've taken my drone east of the Rockies. And you know what's interesting, Peter? I see the exact same features, but bigger.
Wow.
Which says, well, wait a minute, how did they get here?
Let's talk about this flood there.
Yeah, right, you know. And I remember growing up in North Dakota hunting on buttes. Around the butte edges, there'd be breaks of where the deer would hunt, or deer would wander. And I'd look out for these buttes and say, how did this get here? these things are relatively flat top, and then it drops off on a cliffs and then goes out. And it looks like everything's been taken away. And now I look at it and say, yeah, these are erosional remnants from the water of coming off the mountains as the mountains are rising. And I've even done a special study on western North Dakota, eastern Montana, showing how the flood waters changed and shifted due to the Black Hills rising up and the Priors and the Bighorn Mountains rising up, shifting the water flows in the lower parts of the later parts of the flood, giving us the Yellowstone Valley, Little Missouri, Missouri River drainages. So it's really an interesting study, and I'll show that at this upcoming conference.
But what we're talking about here today is the fact that you gentlemen and the books that you've written and the research that you have done have a different view than the traditional scientific approach of millions and millions and billions and billions of years, right?
Yeah, it really is. It's very interesting. Because that I remember when I first started looking at the Bible and came to a place where I actually believe the Bible. And then I heard people say that the earth is not that old. And I'm going, oh, come on now. We all know the earth's millions of years old. Well, it took me a long time to say, well, exactly how do we know that? You know, and it's not like the rocks come with a date on them. And so I started looking at how we made those decisions, and it's really philosophical. It's not necessarily evidence at all. And it's adjusting your philosophy.
Are you finding out it's what people want to believe?
Well, yes. I mean, it's easier to believe in a millions and millions of years old Earth that just formed itself. Then you don't have to deal with any God. And if you don't have to deal with any God, that kind of frees us up to do whatever we want. And so it is natural, and for me and for anybody, to say, I'd rather not have God in my life. But, and so we adjust the evidence to match that concept. And we see this, and it's called scientific naturalism. It's been well codified in science. And it's really an atheistic worldview. And it allows us freedom to get rid of the God concept and give us freedom to do whatever we want. And that's what really we see when we say that the earth gave birth, if you will, Mother Nature gave birth to life, when in reality, biology is showing, man, this is so finely designed, down to the minutest little micro-nano machinery, that this had to be designed. And so that's where we're going to show you that.
Well, the phone lines are open. If you'd like to comment on what we're talking about today, we'd love to hear from you. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. And believe me, these gentlemen are not afraid of questions. That's why they're here.
Absolutely.
So if you have a question or a comment, or perhaps you differ in your thoughts and opinions, hey, give us a call. That's a free exchange of ideas here, folks. That's what it's all about. We'll be right back with more of Talk Back right after this.
Hey, did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
That's my favorite part. And welcome back, everybody. Glad to have you along this morning. 721-1290 is our number. And we have Mike Mueller and Dr. Kevin Horton both joining us. And we're talking about the Taking Back American Culture conference coming up at Cross Point Church tomorrow through Sunday. And we have Steve waiting on the line. So, Steve, you're our first caller this morning, sir. What's on your mind? Please go ahead.
Thank you. Certainly, taking back our culture is a super important topic in more ways than just religion. But I just had a question for the gentleman there. I heard his last comment of, you know, there's no way this can't be anything but designed by a greater power. I'm curious, though, why can't it be both? Like, there's always this argument of, like, you know, it's designed from God. There's no way we're descendants from, you know, chimps or something like that. Why couldn't it be both things? I mean, if God is that omnipresent, powerful, you know, why couldn't he have planted the initial, you know, seed in the, you know, Earth's initial muck ooze that all of a sudden resulted in us here in present day? Why does it have to be that, you know, God created this and that and that and this? Why couldn't it be science and a higher power? Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. Interesting. I'm sure you guys get that all the time. So, Mike and Kevin, go ahead.
Well, let me address that real well, because what you're asking is really a great question, Steve, because you're dealing with theology and science. And so the question is, why can't it be both? And it could be, certainly can be. That is not an illegitimate question. The issue is, though, if the Bible is correct, does it lend to that? And the Bible doesn't really give room, wiggle room from that in a number of ways. It says God created in 6 days. That's a little hard to deal with. So most people trying to make wiggle room will say, well, those days are actually millions of years. And that would be great, but that isn't what it says. It says evening and morning, one day. So it's really pretty literal in stating that God created, boom, each particular kind of animal, boom, created them. He created the birds and the fish on the fifth day of creation. He created the land animals on the sixth day. And if we try to meld those two together, evolution wants to tell us that God, if God did it, he actually created the birds from the dinosaurs. So that's the common thought now, which would mean that God's order, he got it wrong. He got it out of order. And so the Bible doesn't leave us that wiggle room. So,
and neither does science.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is, yeah. The idea of evolution from a lower species to a higher species gives us the concept that mutations are building better things in creatures. But it's like putting a typo in a sentence, making a mistake. It messes up the sentence. And then if you put 5 typos in a sentence, and that's what a mutation would be in the DNA code, you would actually have a messed up thing, and it would be fatal. And that's what we see, that mutations tend to lead us to poorer things. It doesn't upgrade us, make us bigger, or make better ideas. We try to extrapolate millions of years to develop these mutations, and just a couple of them had to go well. But it actually, the evidence from good geneticists say that we're actually heading towards extinction in the genetic genome, because we're getting more and more load of mutations. So the Bible is pretty clear that God just created each type, each major kind of animal, not each species, each kind, so the cat kind, the dog kinds, etc., with genetic variants already built in that would develop into various species.
All right, well, we have Steve back. He wants to make another comment. So Steve, go ahead. But you had a rebuttal. Go ahead, sir.
No, it's not a rebuttal, more of a question. I don't, you know, you're never going to change people's minds on these kinds of topics. But my question is if that's true, what you just said, and I don't doubt that it is necessarily, but, you know, if you compare to a Bible from today versus a Bible from, you know, the first Bible ever created, there's got to be significant differences in it, right? I mean, it's like, why can't the Bible also be, you know, Why is it infallible here? I mean, if you remember being a kid and playing a game of telephone, you know, you tell a friend a word, that friend tells another friend a word, and all of a sudden at the other end of the chain, you get something completely different. And why do we believe that, you know, the Bible is so perfect in these descriptions? I think, and I, you know, this is just a piece of feedback, but I think you lose a lot of people out there when you claim these kinds of, bookends. I mean, I don't think you'll ever convince someone like me that it's not both things. I don't understand why there can't be a win-win in most things in life. And, you know, I think it's okay to say God created everything. At the same time, nature is a pretty powerful force that God created, and it created the things that are on Earth today. So, I mean, I'm no expert. You guys are.
Steve, a lot of folks
with those kinds of.
I will tell you, you are asking questions that millions of people have. Right?
Yes, and that's a great question, by the way, Steve.
And thanks, Steve. Go ahead.
And what you're asking is the concept of textual criticism, which may sound like, what's that mean? Well, it is how we got the very base Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek texts that we translate into English. And there's a whole science to that. And the goal of the science is to get us the most accurate to the original, or what we call the autographa, the original writings by the original prophet, and that we would say that is inspired by God, where God literally gave him the exact words to say, even though his personality comes through. It's very interesting to study out the scriptures and understand this. And the Bible, the original texts that we have, are some of the most accurate in the world. Now, what's interesting is the oldest Hebrew text that we had until recently was 800 AD. And this is a fairly old topic. And the newer ones we have is the Dead Sea Scrolls, which takes us back 1,000 years farther, and they're almost identical because the Jews were so careful in their copying process. So we have a very good text, Greek and Hebrew, the Old Testament and New Testament texts, that really authenticate that what we're dealing with is an accurate text of antiquity. And so that's what we rely on.
Okay, we're going to come right back. Phone lines are open. If you have a question or comment, 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Of course, the KGBO app, hit the message us button. We'll use that as well. We're coming right back after this.
Dennis Bragg with your updated Town Square weather forecast. Increasing clouds Wednesday, but warm with highs near 72 degrees. The overcast will continue through most of Wednesday night, and that should keep us warmer than the past few mornings with lows around 40. After a mix of sun and cloud Thursday, the weather will start to fall apart for the upcoming weekend. There's a 20% chance of showers starting Thursday around midnight, and by Friday afternoon, we're seeing some persistent rain that's expected to continue into Saturday and likely through the weekend.
It is a gorgeous day out there. Thanks for joining us on TalkBack on this Wednesday, April 24th. I'm Peter Christian. Nick Christensen is producing TalkBack, taking your phone calls. And folks from the Institute for Biblical Authority here in the studio this morning, and we've got a big conference coming up. It's called Taking Back American Culture. It's coming up Thursday through Sunday at Cross Point Church out on Mullen Road. So Mr. Wingnut has been waiting the longest. Mr. Nutt, good morning. You are on. Go ahead, please, sir.
Well, good morning. I hope you can bear with me. I'd like to relay an experience that I had at the University of Montana that ends up being germane, in my opinion, to this conversation. And when I was a student there, I had a professor by the name of Professor Ault. And he was an amazing professor. And he had the remarkable ability to, he would lecture and he would draw these incredible landscape drawings on the chalkboard while he was lecturing. And there was a geomorphology course. And so we started out the lecture series talking about hill and ravine landscapes. And as he was lecturing and drawing on the blackboard and talking about the hypothesis on how these land or these hill and ravine landscapes came into being, you know, we'd all be feverishly taking notes, and he would be drawing, and we would just be, just wrapped with attention. And a couple of days later, he would say, well, and then this graduate student came along and challenged that hypothesis, and they came to realize that, you know, this aging landscape hypothesis didn't really work out. So, you know, we had spent a couple of days taking notes, and it was for naught. And then he would launch into the next hypothesis on how these hill and ravine landscapes came into being. And a couple of days later, he would come up and say, and then they realized that this hypothesis couldn't be correct. and he went through this three or four times.
Yeah.
Until the final point was, hypotheses come, hypotheses go, and there's things that we don't really know. And one day in lab, you know, I said, you know, you don't really, you know, you have hypotheses, but you can't, or hypotheses, but you can't really tell me how these hill and ravine landscapes came into being. And yet you want me to subscribe to the Big Bang theory. And he just laughed and said, you know, I really try not to get into that. and so, yeah, and it was a great experience, believe me. But, you know, the bottom line is hypotheses come and hypotheses go. But, you know, I'm a apostolic fundamentalist and believe in the Bible. But when it comes down to it, the Bible is not a textbook on geomorphology. It is a it is writings on how man can be reconciled to God. And, you know, I can get geomorphology wrong, but I certainly hope I don't get my relationship with God wrong. So that's kind of my comments today.
All right.
And thank you.
Well said, Mr. Nutt. Go ahead, gentlemen, please. Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Wingnut. I appreciate that story and that comment. I appreciate that.
We don't speak germane around here.
These aren't germane subjects,
sorry,
that's for sure.
Yep.
So just to back to the comment of why both can't be true, I want to lay some foundation. First of all, this conference is about presenting how science supports the Bible, a biblical worldview, and it can explain everything, geomorphology, everything you see in the earth and the universe. And there's the secular worldview that doesn't necessarily connect with the Bible. We have to make a choice. Either the Bible is true from the first word to the last, and is there scientific support for it, or is it man's word or the world's explanation? It can't be both. When someone asks the question, can it be both, we have to go back to what we're talking about here. Evolution says that we all started from slime or bacteria and over millions and billions of years, and you need that millions of billions of years to think that through chance and mutation, you and I could be here from
time,
ape.
Time is the factor.
You got to have deep time for that to seem reasonable or logical. So evolution says through chance, mutation, and time, we're all here by accident. The Bible has a completely different story. It's more of recent creation. It's that God made us, as Dr. Horton said, in 6 days. And the two don't mix. Evolution is one worldview, and the Bible is another one. So I, as a scientist, and Dr. Horton, and thousands of scientists across the world now today are finding more and more and more science to prove that the Bible is true. And that's what the conference is about, hitting all the various different topics like Lake Missoula, like Ice Age, our origins, where did we come from? This conference will bring in over 100 years of experience to give us really good and solid answers from science, looking at the evidence that the Bible is true and there is a higher power and authority that loves us and that we can have hope in. Okay?
Okay, we're going to come right back. We have Harry waiting on the line, and I believe Dr. Orr is going to be joining us here as well.
Yes.
721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. We'll be right back after this.
Eric.
Okay, we're back. This is Talk Back, and we're talking here in the studio with Mike Mueller and Dr. Kevin Horton. The conference is called Taking Back American Culture. It's going to be starting Thursday, going through Sunday at Cross Point Church. And Harry has been waiting very patiently. Harry, good morning. What's your question for our guest, please?
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Bear with me while I get my thoughts. I got so many ideas on this. But anyway, this whole idea that, you're true. You're pretty much right. If you believe the Bible is absolutely correct, then you don't believe what the scientists say because they don't jive. But that's where you are sort of handcuffed because you got this. You look at the Bible and say, this is fact. And so now we got to fit what evidence we find to fit that. So I call it cutting the foot to fit the shoe. And, you know, the trouble is that you're relying on a lot of supernatural stuff where scientists, and that's the thing, over time, you know, the idea that the Earth was old wasn't, I mean, it's fairly a new thing, really, because that came from evidence. That's where people are looking at the evidence. And, you know, you say, well, the rocks don't have, you know, made by dates, but actually they do. They have, you know, radioactive decay, which they can date fairly, around about how old stuff is. But, this idea of the old Earth is actually from evidence. It's more based on evidence than just saying, well, the Bible says so, and that's all we have to stand on. And also, why is the Bible, I mean, why not Brahman? We could be the dream of Brahman, and so that's all the evidence you need is, well, God made everything as it is, and why should we look for evidence at all? You know, it's made because God made it that way. Brahman made it that way. Or Vishnu made it that way. Whoever. So I mean, the idea that, well, this is the fact, and so we got to make all our evidence fit the fact. That fact.
All right, Harry. We'll let them answer that. Thanks for the call. Go ahead.
One more thing.
Go ahead, Harry. Yeah.
Yeah. Just the idea that scientists do this because they want to be immoral, pretty much. That's what you imply, because, you know, they don't have to answer to God. Well, that's, you know, you're sort of implying that, well, scientists or these people are immoral because they don't want to have to follow God's law. So that's why they did all this, evolution and all that. So.
All right. So a couple of postulates there. Go ahead, please.
Well, there's about three, yeah.
I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Horton, but I do want to make one point clear. Thank you, Harry. When we as scientists look at the evidence, the more we all look at the same evidence, we look at the rocks, we look at design, we look at the DNA, the genetics, we look at biology, we look at the same evidence. We just interpret it differently because of our worldviews. My position now is, after looking at this for 10, 15 years, is the evidence there, the science, the objective scientific evidence supports the Bible narrative and the biblical worldview better than the secular one, just like talking about the evolutionary time frame and that we're here by chance over long periods of time. You can look at a protein, you can look at the cell, and you're looking at DNA, given 13 point whatever billion years old the universe is, and how did that protein and those amino acids, how did that all arrange itself by chance and mutation over time? Statistically, it's already been proven it can't happen. It's impossible. So my point is, we're all looking at the same evidence, but the evidence now is supporting the Bible like never before, and even from a geological perspective, which we'll have Michael Orr be able to talk about in a minute. He's been studying this for 40 years, but I'll turn it over to Dr. Horton if he has some additional.
Well, I think Michael Orr should jump in here on the age of the Earth. Mike, you there?
Okay, hold on. Let me get him on.
Yes, I am. Yep.
There he is.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah.
So Harry brought up a number of things that is commonly believed in the culture, but the culture is full of misinformation, and you got to really get the facts first. First of all, you got to know what science is and what it is not. Science is about the facts, of course, but another part of science is the interpretation of the fact, and that depends on your worldview. And I've discovered that when you look at the raw data, the facts, it supports the Bible more than it does deep time, millions of years and evolution. So you got to start off with, well, what are the facts? Well, as far as dating methods, which I've gone into a lot, in fact, I have a book on that topic. In fact, this is what this conference is about, to hopefully enlighten people of what really is going on, and do we have evidence or not? And we do. Anyway, you got to realize that scientists believed that especially Earth scientists, that's my field, by the way, Earth science, believed that the Earth was old, clear back in the late 1700s. And it wasn't because they knew a lot about science. They didn't even know whether basalt was an igneous or a sedimentary rock. So they determined it's old, period. And it's based on uniformitarianism. Present processes account for all things in the past, and the flood was not real. So with that bias, they looked at things that they thought were given old ages, and they brought up three things at the right away, but they've been shown to not be correct. Finally, they got into radiometric dating, which is that's probably their best. But, you know, a lot of radiometric dates give the wrong date. Different systems give different dates. And So there's problems there. And then we've done some radiometric dating ourselves. For instance, carbon-14. It has a half-life of 5,730 years, of which in about 80,000 years there'd be no carbon-14 left in the system. It should be all carbon-12. But do you know that diamonds, which can't be contaminated, have carbon-14 in them? Yes, that implies that diamonds are less than 80,000 years old. Now, there's even more. We've dated zircon crystals in granite and discovered that even though the uranium-lead method gave 1.5 billion years, the zircons were so full of helium, and based on the helium diffusion rate out of the zircon crystal into the biotite surrounding it and out into the rest of the granite, it had so much helium in it that it was it could be dated by the uranium helium method to about 6,000 years. So how does we explain this? Yes, the radiometric dating methods give millions and billions of years often, but this would imply that we had a period of accelerated radiometric decay sometime in the last 6,000 years, where all these decay systems accelerated. Was it during the creation? Was it during the flood? We don't know when, and we debate that, in-house debate between creation scientists. But it implies that that's how we account for the millions and billions of years, is by a period of accelerated radiometric decay. And the zircon crystals, which are very radioactive, indicate this, and the carbon-14 in diamonds indicates young. Now, diamonds are supposed to be about 1 to 2 billion years old, formed about 100 miles down, and so they're supposed to be old, but carbon-14 indicates as young. So,
Michael,
there's a lot more that can be said about this.
I just want to jump in here. This is Peter. We're up against a commercial break, and we do have a caller waiting, so we're gonna come right back. We're gonna get our callers on as quickly as we can. Michael Orr joining us from Bozeman, and of course here in the studio we have Mike Mueller and Dr. Kevin Horton. We're gonna continue, and another hour to come here, and lots more to come. And of course we'd love to have your phone calls. We're gonna get Dave's call on when we come back right after this.
Dennis Bragg with your updated Town Square weather forecast. Increasing clouds Wednesday, but warm with highs near 72 degrees. The overcast will continue through most of Wednesday night, and that should keep us warmer than the past few mornings with lows around 40. After a mix of sun and cloud Thursday, the weather will start to fall apart for the upcoming weekend. There's a 20% chance of showers starting Thursday around midnight, and by Friday afternoon, we're seeing some persistent rain that's expected to continue into Saturday and likely through the weekend.
Okay, we're back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number, and we're right now we're talking about a seminar called Taking Back American Culture. It's going to be at Cross Point Church Thursday through Sunday. Mike Mueller here in the studio along with Dr. Kevin Horton, and we also have Mr. Orr. He's joining us on the phone right now. Now, I believe we want to get Dave on. Dave's been waiting. Dave, good morning. You have a question. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm curious what you think of the Big Bang Theory, that the universe is 13 billion years old, and that galaxies, there's millions of them, and they're moving away from each other at huge distances and time to take to do that. I mean, is this all happened? And I mean, the time it takes for a galaxy to move can be judged by its distance from us. Did that all happen in one day? How do they get galaxies so far apart?
Okay, good questions, Dave. Thanks for the call. Gentlemen, you want to jump in? Michael, would you like to comment on that?
Yes, I'll comment on that. When you dive into the Big Bang, and we have astronomers in creation science that have done that, you find a lot of problems with it. To account for the initial elements in the solar system, the Big Bang has to have a period of what's called inflation. And the universe has to expand within 1 second out to almost its same size. You know, that's going, you know, over a million times the speed of light for everything. And it's called the inflation. And that's a sub hypothesis or sub-theory to explain a difficulty, which they do have a lot. And another one I'll say is that, by the way, we observe the universe expanding, so we accept that. We accept the data, the fact. It's interpretation, as I was saying to Harry, that's where the problem is, the interpretations. And there's really no facts that contradict the Bible. It's the interpretations of those facts. And another thing with the Big Bang, this new telescope we have, and even the Hubble telescope also, indicated that when you look way out there in space, there are ideas on the formation of stars, which is exceedingly difficult, and the formation of galaxies, a process exceedingly difficult. You find out there mature galaxies way out there that they claim was soon after the Big Bang, and all these processes they claim take a lot of time. And with mature galaxies, as far as they see, that's the problem for the Big Bang model. But anyway, have astronomers that have addressed that. You can check some of our websites for their particular answers. And as far as the light coming here fast, they have the same problem. Like I said, the inflation idea, you have to have the speed of light going over a million times faster than it observed today. So we have the same problem of how light got here from galaxies billions of light years out there. And we have about five theories on it. So we have guys working on it. And so we're both in the same boat of explaining the starlight time problem.
We have exactly 2 minutes before we have to take a hard break. Did you want to introduce Gordon before we... We do that. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Thank you, Peter. So I'd like to introduce everybody out there to Michael Ord. He's from Bozeman. And Michael has a BS and MS in atmospheric science from the University of Washington. He spent 30 years with the National Weather Service. So do we believe him? He's a weather forecaster? I don't know. Michael, you haven't heard that before, have you? Anyway.
Oh, many times.
Michael
has spent 40 years studying geology, geophysics, glaciology, paleoclimatology, and has published 200 articles in creation science, 17 creation books on the flood, the ice age, weather, dinosaurs, geology. So just know this conference Friday night and Saturday at Cross Point Church, Michael is going to be hitting on a lot of topics. Lake Missoula flood and the Genesis flood, dinosaurs, ice age, geology, the global flood and what geology tells us. He's even written books on woolly mammoths from a biblical worldview. So we're all looking, at the same evidence, and there is a lot of evidence to the question there. Evidence for a young universe. So that's what is great about this conversation and this conference. We want to give you both views. Evidence for a biblical worldview, and then the evidence that may not jive. But we hope that people will hear both sides, and it is fascinating once you get into it. Dr. Horton?
Okay, yeah, we have about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Oh, yes, and one of the things that was stated by Harry is that I implied that scientists want to be immoral. Well, I would say there's some, but I would say that's all of us. I'm not trying to point my finger at scientists. I want to point my finger at all of us. We all have this tendency to want our sin, if you will, to do what we want to do. So I have the same problem as any other scientist.
Okay, we're going to come right back after the top of the hour. We have Gordon waiting, we'd have another hour. Stay with us.
This is TalkBack, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hour number two of TalkBack is underway. And TalkBack this morning is brought to you by Harrington Surgical Supply. You can feel confident in their discreet and knowledgeable guidance on a multitude of products and medical supplies. Also brought to you by Y West Storage out at the Y on Two Smokes Way. Do they have a unit for you? I'll bet they do. Call 406-510-0590. Put that in your phone. Y West Storage, making room for you. And if you need cleaning for both your residential and commercial units, well, just give Phillips Janitorial a call. No job is too big or small for Phillips. Their number 406-260-6617.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Yeah, getting back to a great conversation going on right now here in the studio, Mike Mueller, Dr. Kevin Horton, and we have Michael Ord, who's joining us from Bozeman, all on the phone, but of course in the studio we have our gentleman here, and we have folks have been waiting all the way through the break. So let's get those folks on. We'd like to get our callers on. Gordon, good morning. You are on TalkBack. What's on your mind, sir?
Good morning. Well, I have a question about the word day. I totally believe that God created the heavens and the earth, totally, 100%. But the word day, I think, is misunderstood very much, as it can be translated light, time, year. In the first 3 days, there was no sun or moon created, according to Genesis account, which I believe. So our understanding of time is modern mankind anyways, is measured by the sun and by the moon, time and seasons. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, verse 4, it says, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day when that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. So we don't understand that as being one 24-hour period. Also in Peter it says a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. He told Adam in the day that they ate of that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil in that day that they would die. And we know that he lived to be 900 and some years. So I don't even understand what a generation was by that measure. We consider generation maybe 40 years. But I don't know if that's accurate or not either. But when they were living to be in the 900s, what was a generation then? So those are some questions I would have about the word day, as I may be misunderstanding that to be not just one 24-hour period, but maybe generations of time.
All right.
It doesn't matter. All right.
Great. Gordon, great question. Great question.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Gentlemen, go ahead, please.
Well, you're in the area of theology, which is kind of my area of enjoyment. So I appreciate this. This is a really important question that you brought up. And we think about the word day, even in English, it can be used in speaking of a 24-hour period, or it can be speaking of a longer period of time. For instance, back in Abraham's day, that would be kind of his whole life, basically, that time period. So it can be used that way. But anytime you put a number in front of the word day, then it's a 24-hour period. For instance, if you said back in Abraham's second day, what are we dealing with? Well, it's a 24-hour period after the second day after he was born. And so that it's the same thing in the Hebrew. The word yom in Hebrew can be used both ways. But any time a number is in front of it, then it's a 24-hour day. The second issue is after each day, it then says, it has this qualifier. There was evening and morning. The second day, there was evening and morning. The third day, so not only you have a number in front that says it's 24 hours, but then you have evening and morning, that is a marker that the earth is rotating. And so that really does define it very carefully that way. Now, you brought up Genesis chapter 2, and some people have a misunderstanding about Genesis 2, and you mentioned the toledot marker called generations, and that's the Hebrew word toledot. And that is a marker of, I believe that we look at a Genesis in Hebrew, the Hebrew, Moses took ancient documents that he had and he edited them and put them together. And that's how under the power of the Holy Spirit to oversee it. And so we have these toledot markers in Genesis that are different documents that he put together. Genesis 2 is not a chronological document. It is a parenthetical document. In other words, I'm talking along, here's day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4. That's a chronology. And then Genesis 2 stops the chronology forward motion and goes back and gives us a parenthetical look into the past to see details that would bog down the chronology. And so Genesis 2 is that written in that way, and that's why it says in that day when God created. Now it's speaking of the word, using the word in the longer sense of that period of time rather than 24 hours, because there isn't a rotation of the earth marker there, evening and morning. There was a number in front of it. So those things are how we define that. And so that's really helps us understand that. Does that make sense, Gordon? I guess he's not there.
Yeah, he's not.
He's not there. Okay, so that hopefully that explains that to people.
I'd like to add something to that.
Sure, go ahead. We have just a minute, Mike.
When you look at how day is used in the rest of Hebrew scripture, which is hundreds of times, when it has a number and it has evening and morning, it always means a literal 24-hour day. And like Kevin said, day can mean a vague period of time, like the day of the Lord, or it could be the daylight time, or it could be 24-hour days. And the context indicates that. You got to go by the context, and the context indicates it's a 24-hour day. And 1 Peter 3:8, where 1,000 years is one day, and a day is as 1,000 years. That's taken out of context because that verse indicates that God's outside of time. You can't apply that to the days of creation. And even if you made each day 1,000 years, that's nothing, because the secular scientists believe those periods are millions and billions of years old, because they believe the Earth is 4.6 billion years old. And then man came on the scene, his ancestors and the fossil record came on about 500 to 600 million years ago. And so all this creation of all these would have to have hundreds of millions of years in there. And that doesn't work no matter how you do it. So to me, the context and everything about the word day indicates it's a 24-hour day. And it can be defended when we look at the dating methods and the many dating methods that give young ages. So it's telling me that the Earth is young, and we have a lot of support for that in creation science. Okay, the data of creation science supported.
With that, we're up against a commercial break. We're going to come right back. Eli is waiting to visit with you, gentlemen, and we have another caller on the line as well. We're going to come right back with more of Talk Back right after this.
Hey there. Dennis Bragg with your updated Town Square weather forecast. Increasing clouds Wednesday, but warm with highs near 72 degrees. The overcast will continue through most of Wednesday night, and that should keep us warmer than the past few mornings with lows around 40. After a mix of sun and cloud Thursday, the weather will start to fall apart for the upcoming weekend. There's a 20% chance of showers starting Thursday around midnight, and by Friday afternoon, we're seeing some persistent rain that's expected to continue into Saturday and likely through the weekend.
Hey, welcome back to Talk Back. 721-1290 is our number. Hail, hail, the gang's all here, ladies and gentlemen. And we're talking about the Taking Back American Culture, a conference that's coming up at Cross Point Church tomorrow through Sunday. Here in the studio, we have Mike Mueller, Dr. Kevin Horton. And now we are being joined by Bruce Malone, who is with us this morning. You gentlemen want to introduce Bruce. Go ahead, please.
I would love to. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Bruce, for getting on. Bruce is in Michigan right now, and he will be one of our international speakers at this conference at Cross Point Church starting Thursday, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday evening. And Bruce, thanks for coming, and I want to tell the folks a little bit about you. By the way, this conference is about sharing how science supports the Bible and developing a biblical worldview. We just want opportunities to share information from both sides, the secular worldview and the biblical worldview. And boy, listen to some of the topics. I'll mention them here in a minute. We have only over 100 years of experience in research and science at this conference. So, boy, this is a once-in-a-lifetime chance to come and listen Friday and Saturday. So we'll hope you'll join us. Bruce Malone, what an interesting background. He had 27 years experience as a research leader with Dow Chemical. And then in 2008, he stepped away to start the Search for the Truth Ministries. Boy, that's a great name, Bruce. We need truth like crazy today. He has a BS degree in chemical engineering from the University of Cincinnati. I would love to know more about this. He has 17 patents of new projects, but the last many, many years, he's been giving creation seminars to churches and schools in 18 countries. He's authored 10 books on the evidence of creation with over 700,000 copies in print. He has a video series. He has presented over 350 science assemblies in public high schools in six different nations. I think he was just recently in Fiji, and he's given away 200,000 books. By the way, Bruce, I gave Peter one of your books, Without Excuse. So Peter and Nick have your book. Anyway, he's been doing this for 40 years, so welcome, Bruce. Thank you. Would you like to just say anything, Bruce, to open up?
Well, thanks so much, Mike, and you hear about all that stuff, and all that has been spread over 30 years, so it's not like, oh, last year all this stuff happened. It's just, God opens doors. My goal is to bring our culture that in many ways is living in fantasy land back to reality, and that's what the study of creation does. The first command God gave to Adam and Eve when he made mankind was to take dominion over creation. That word is, in essence, to study, understand, and control. We don't own creation, but God's given us kind of stewardship over it by understanding and controlling it. Well, that is science. So there can't be a conflict between studying creation and what God says to in God's word about where it came from. And there isn't. It's just all misinterpreted because we're leaving out the truth for a large part in our universities, schools, museums, internet, and so on.
Well, I'll tell you what, we do have a caller that's been waiting for quite some time. Let's get Eli on the line. Eli, thank you for your patience, sir. What's on your mind? What's your question for our guests?
Well, thank you very much. And, I love this conversation. It's something that needs to happen, although I stand firmly in opposition to these folks. I feel like they're spreading a lot of falsehood and misinformation. I'm just going to make a comment and then listen to whatever the response is. But, like in any, let's say a court of law or something, and you have a question that you're trying to understand, you're going to evaluate the credibility of the witnesses. And they started out this conversation, or at least when I turned on, saying, well, hey, either the Bible is inerrant and true or it's not. And you can't have it both ways. And, I've read the Bible my whole life many, many times. It's a fascinating book. And, if you come from a religious heritage, you have other reasons that you read it, and which I did. I became disturbed by the fact that the Bible internally is full of very serious contradictions. You can't say one thing on one page and something on the other and then be a credible witness. And I'm not going to take the time to list all the contradictions. Certainly these, very intelligent and wise men have, I hope, looked at that, but I don't understand how they can use a flawed witness, which is the Bible, because it was never intended, from my point of view, to be an absolute document of truth. And I will, how did Saul die? You read the first page of the New Testament and it gives a genealogy and says this is a genealogy of Jesus, and then it ends up being the genealogy of Joseph, and then on the first page and going into Genesis, there are serious problems there, just logically. Why were the plants made before the sun or different things? And those are only limited contradictions. There's direct contradictions of fact between the Gospels on, what did the disciples do after Jesus died? Did they go here and there and do this and that, or did they stay in Jerusalem and do this and that? And you can't have both stories be true. And so, just like the New York Times has a lot of truth in it, there's a lot of falsehood. And we have to use our minds to discern truth from false from a old document that reports many things that were true. But to then take it to be some kind of a scientific roadmap on how old the universe is or anything about that, it's just not a reliable witness. And on the other side, science is something that...
Okay, all right, all right.
We're allowing you a lot of time.
Gentlemen. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm the commercial sheriff. I have to jump in here. Eli, thanks for the call. We're going to come right back. We have to take a commercial break. We're going to come right back. I'm sure everybody has something they want to say about Eli's comments. So we're going to come right back after this brief timeout. Okay, we are back. This is Talk Back. 721-1290 is our number. We had some comments from Eli that I know that that Bruce, you wanted to address. So please, sir, you are on. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'd just like to address kind of a broad overview first. Eli was he was in the process of listing supposed problem after problem, contradiction after contradiction in the Bible. And you can find these on atheist websites. But his method is not to try to understand why the Bible says what it says and could it be true, but to find some nitpicky way of saying, aha, it's not true. For instance, in the Old Testament, it says Jesus came out of Nazareth. It also, another spot, it says he was going to be born in Bethlehem. And another spot, it says he's come out of Egypt. It's like, aha, the Bible's wrong. But as we learn more, we find out, well, all three were true. So that's just kind of a general feel for what's going on here with these kind of objections. I do want to address one thing dealing with science. Eli said, you know, we need to approach what is the truth like a court case where you get to hear both viewpoints, see what is the evidence for it. Well, that's what science is all about, understanding what is the truth by observing nature. But that's not what's happening all over our culture. Only a naturalistic, it all made itself viewpoint is allowed. If you think of the universe, the whole universe, all the time, space, energy, matter, the life itself, living organisms, it either made itself or some natural process made it. I've never had anybody promote a third possibility. So you can look at science, and science can't in an absolute way prove either one because it can only gather information and we never know if we have it all. But it can prove which one could not possibly be true. And that's why God says, by looking at what I have made, by looking at creation, we were without excuse for believing in him. The most tested, most fundamental, most observed, never been contradicted law of science is that matter and energy could never make itself. So we know the universe couldn't have made itself. Every experiment ever done by every scientist in all of time shows that chemicals never come alive. It's a law of science. And by understanding the complexity of even the very molecules of life, the biochemicals, we know by random processes, not even one protein could ever have made itself statistically. So we know life couldn't have made itself. But these things aren't shown to students. So Eli is not looking for truth. He's looking for whatever fits his belief system and his narrative.
All right, gentlemen, please.
Well said. I don't know if there's more needs to be said on that.
Michael, did you want to comment on that?
Yes. Eli has a lot of questions, and so do a lot of other people. And like I said earlier to another caller, there's a lot of misinformation in the culture and in books and so forth. But that's what these conferences are all about. To go into that to see what are the data, what are the interpretations, and what are the false beliefs, and what are the true beliefs. And you got to be open-minded to be interested and seek them. And I suggest that Eli come to the conference as well as others. And by the way, when we're not speaking, we can deal with various topics that people come up because we'll be moving through the audience and back at the book tables and so forth. So the conference is designed to answer these questions, but since Eli and the others had a lot of questions, here we can't do it because it'd take almost a book or two to answer some of these questions. And by the way, there are answers. We do have the answers,
yes,
and you need to come to the conference to find it. And see, my theme verse for research is 1 Thessalonians 5:21, New American Standard Version, says, examine everything carefully, hold fast that which is good. I examine it carefully. When you find you do that, you find that things like apparent contradictions melt away, like Bruce mentioned where Jesus was when he was a baby. They melt away. So you got to be examine everything and carefully. You got to be interested. You got to be open minded. And we do have lots of answers. Come to the conference, and you will hear some of these answers.
All right, gentlemen, and with that, we're up against a commercial break. We're going to come right back. 721-1290 is our number. Phone lines are open. We have Michael and Bruce both on the phone, and we have Mike and Kevin here in the studio. So, yeah, a cast of thousands, if you will. We're going to go, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. If you have a question or comment, we still have another half an hour of our time with our guests. We're going to come right back after this timeout. We are back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. We're talking about the Taking Back American Culture, a conference coming up Thursday through Sunday at Cross Point Church here in Missoula. Here in the studio, Mike Mueller and Dr. Kevin Horton. We also have Bruce Malone joining us on the phone, along with Michael Ord. And we do have callers coming in. So I believe Mike is on the line right now. Mike, hey, good morning, Mike. How you doing? How are things over in Huntley?
Oh, really good, Pete. It's good to hear your voice.
You too,
and
sir.
I loved was the conversation. You know, I think that what I'm curious about is if the gentleman may be making the way over to Billings. Is there any possibility of that?
Oh, we actually were there a few years ago. The closest we're going to be this summer is in Medora, North Dakota, which isn't that far. I mean, it's a cross state, but we will be in Medora this summer in July. So you can look on our website, IBA777.org, and come on over there and join us. We're going to bring in some great people there, too.
They have a great gospel brunch there. Good food and good music.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I'm enjoying your show.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Mike is a dear friend from all my life. So anyway, let's continue, gentlemen. By the way, the phone lines are open. If you have a question or comment for our guests, that's why we're here, is to answer those questions. So go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Peter, I just really quick wanted to share some of the conversation and the sessions that over 100 years of experience between Dr. Horton, Michael Ord, and Bruce Malone will be sharing at the This Is Our Time, Taking Back American Culture, Proclaiming Jesus as Creator, Savior, and Hope in the Gospel. Listen to some of these topics. Culture Gone Mad by Dr. Horton. Boy, there's a topic. What's going on with the culture of the world today, right? Worldwide Evidence That the Bible Is True. The Lake Missoula Flood and how that relates to the Genesis Flood. The Ice Age, Made in His Image, Not Evolution. Is the Earth Old? Biblical Time Frames. Origins, Where Did We Come From? Genesis, The Foundation of Everything. By the way, we have such a heart for our youth. Bruce Malone goes all over the world talking to the youth and in schools. You can go into the school with a gospel message in the public schools where Bruce goes. Here it's a little tougher for various reasons, but so we have a heart for the youth. So Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, if you would like your youth, sixth grade and up, to come and spend time with these speakers, a session with these speakers on topics that our youth are being hit with today, please bring them in to Cross Point Church Saturday morning and afternoon. We hear a lot about gender conflict and confusion and all the things going on there. We will talk about that and how we are made in His image, male and female. We'll talk about we're not here by chance in evolution. We're here because God made us in His image. So we'll talk about evolution, that is really atheism being taught in all of our public schools. We will talk about design and nature, that there's a designer. Bruce is excellent at that. And then a big question that comes up. Why do we have pain and suffering in the world? And then Michael Ord, one of his expertise is climate change and global warming. All he's been studying on that over the years. And then finally, one that really bugs me, I had a daughter take a class just a year or so ago, an anthropology class, and there were three chapters in there about primate evolution, that we came from apes. That's what's being taught in some of our, and most of our universities and public schools. So we will talk about that. We're not from apes. There's a lot of lies and deception in that whole story. So listen to those stories and those session type topics there. So if you want to come and be open-minded, hear both views, the biblical and the secular worldviews, come to Cross Point Church Friday night, Saturday through the day, and then Sunday evening. So go to IBA777.org to get all that information. So there's a commercial.
All right. Well, and by the way, Mike, you didn't mention that we actually have two field trips, too, helping with the Lake Missoula flood. So Friday, 10 o'clock, I'll be leading one. Hopefully, we might leave right at 10 to get ahead of the rain. But we're going to go over and see some of the evidence of Lake Missoula flood, and that's going to be really fun. And then Michael Ord's going to be taking one Sunday afternoon, and he'll take us up the Alberton Gorge and see some of the evidence and see some of that. And that's really cool for us who live right here, to be able to go out and go with somebody who really knows this information and spend some time asking questions and seeing the evidence. So it'll be great.
I think is fascinating is there are thousands of people who have moved into Montana since COVID, and I will bet a large majority of them have absolutely no idea of the wonder that surrounds us. I mean, they came here to get away from crowded cities and that sort of thing, and now that they're here, they sit in their house, they watch TV, they look at their phones, and they don't go out to see the amazing wonders that are around us.
Yeah, and it'll be a great chance to do that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and Peter and Kevin, we've got Michael Ord and Bruce Malone on the phone. Maybe we'll take a quick minute just to talk about the Lake Missoula flood and what it shows us from a biblical worldview perspective. Michael, do you want to take that on for a minute or two?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I got a book and a DVD on the topic. And I'm from Washington State, so I've gone back and forth seeing these features. Yeah, the Lake Missoula flood was at the peak of the ice age. It was 1,000 feet deep over Missoula and 2,000 feet deep at the Montana-Idaho border, about 440 cubic miles of water. About, let's see, I think it's four times the volume of Lake Erie, and is held back by a finger of the ice sheet in northern Idaho. But as the water went up and up, the peak when we had more melting in the summer, it broke through, carved up eastern Washington, eroded 50 cubic miles of hard basalt and soft silt, and formed all these unique features out there. And some of these unique features are similar to features we see on the surface of the earth, showing that we had runoff from the Genesis flood. So we can compare the two and provide, from the Lake Missoula flood, we can find evidence for the Genesis flood runoff part.
Yeah.
Can I add to that?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, please. Go ahead, Bruce. Yeah. And we do have a couple of callers waiting, so go ahead.
Yeah, by the way, thank you, Michael. Michael is without a doubt the expert on this subject, but there's a key learning here that I want to mention. One of my talks is called Blind to the Obvious. I'll be giving to the youth because they need to understand why intelligent, smart, well-read, friendly, sincere teachers can be completely blind and wrong. There was a man named J. Harlan Brett. He was a geologist. And he realized, based on the evidence, that the entire area, eastern Washington, all the way through the Columbia River Valley Gorge, was carved out by an enormous flood over a matter of days or weeks. And it did not take millions of years to completely restructure an entire area of the United States. He was ignored for 20 years, ridiculed, ignored, suppressed, censored, but he just kept coming back and kept coming back and kept coming back. But it took 20 years for people, geologists, trained to think everything had to have happened slow and gradually to finally come around to realizing they were wrong. The same is true with the global flood. The whole educational geological community assumes it's never happened, so they misinterpret everything in the past, and they're blind to the obvious.
And gentlemen, with that, we're up against a commercial break. Your timing was perfect there. Thank you so much. We have Jeff and Harry both waiting to visit with us, and several other phone lines open at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We're coming right back after this timeout.
Who's your...
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we are back. This is Talk Back. 721-1290 is our number. Phone lines filling up for our guests. Jeff, you've been waiting the longest. Jeff, good morning, sir. You are on with our guests. What's your question, please?
Hey, good morning. I'm glad you brought up the Glacial Lake Missoula thing because you describe it as though it were just one flood. And the shorelines around Missoula actually proved that there were at least 38 different Glacial Lake Missoulas. And the reason it does that is because when it emptied, it emptied, as you said, in a matter of days or weeks. So there wasn't time to leave a shoreline. But as it rose slowly. And anybody who works with rising water knows that it wipes out previous shorelines. So the 38 shorelines on the mountain say that it was emptied at least 38 times, so there were 38 floods over a period of thousands of years. And this leads me into a point I want to make about Genesis, and that I've said this before last year when you were on. I don't think I changed any minds with it, but is the Bible true? Absolutely. I believe it 100%. Is it a scientifically accurate document? No. Why? Because none of the people who actually had an oral tradition, you allege that Moses wrote it from documents. Actually, Jewish tradition has that it wasn't written down until well after Moses, and it was an oral tradition all the way up to that point. But the fact that...
Michael, why don't you take this question? Because you are the geological expert.
All right. Well, hold on. Let's
the caller,
wait. Let's
giving an interpretation.
Let's
interpretation of the evidence.
Okay. Hang on. Let Jeff finish his question. So go ahead, Jeff, please.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. The way I wanted to end this was that all of science comes up with models and. Supposedly, and we being human beings, we hold on to our models very tightly, but conceptually speaking, we are willing to let go of our models if the evidence refutes it. I don't hear that here. I hear that you're willing to hold on to your model at the expense of evidence. And to me, that's just wrong.
All right.
That's just not what
All right.
science is
Jeff,
about.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Michael, you wanted to jump in there. Go ahead, please.
Yes, we can say a lot about what that last comment you had. We're saying that when you look at the evidence in depth, it does not support the long ages evolutionary scenario, but the biblical scenario. You're going to have to come to the conference and hear some of the talks or talk to us individually to get more specific evidence. Otherwise, I mean, we can write a book on that topic, but getting back to your multiple Lake Missoula floods, I've dealt with that. And there's a lot of evidence that there was only one huge Lake Missoula flood. I believe the shorelines represent still stands in winter. And then when you had the spring and summer melting, it rose rapidly from all the ice around and covered up the previous shoreline. I don't think it destroyed it. If you had 38 or 40 floods. By the way, they say there's over 90 now at their last ice age. You'd have a mishmash of shorelines there, and they wouldn't be so even going up the mountain. They'd be partly destroyed. There'd be some here, some there. It'd be chaos. As far as the one huge Lake Missoula flood, there was a man who did a PhD thesis. I forgot where. I'm not sure it was from University of Montana, but he looked at the sediments from Lake Missoula to the north of Missoula, and he expected to see evidence of multiple floods because as one flood the lake disappears, and then it has to fill up in 50 to 80 years. He should see a lot of unconformities in the sediments there. But when he drilled down, he found no unconformities except when he got to the bedrock. And he even said in his PhD thesis that he believed this was evidence of one flood. But I can go into Eastern Washington and show you about five other evidences that there was one major flood. And another thing, six geologists from the University of Alberta in Edmonton came out about 1998 look and see if there was evidence for multiple floods. And they looked at everything, and they wrote a paper in the journal Geology, and it came and said, one lake was a little flood, just like Brett's thought. So if you want to know more, you can. I've written a book on that topic with that as a key point, and I have a DVD out on that topic.
Okay, let's try to get another call in because we have a lot of folks waiting. Emmett, good morning. You're on with our guests. What's your question, please?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Well, more of a comment, I don't know. I am Roman Catholic. We love Jesus. The thing is, I'm against atheistic evolution, which tries to disprove God because I believe in Jesus as my Savior. But Catholics also believe in the concept of evolution as well. We don't choose between God and science and say, choose one. If you believe in science, you have to believe. You can't believe in God. Or if you believe in Jesus, you can't believe in science. The Bible wasn't a book about science to be taken literally that way. The Bible basically says that man fell in the Garden of Eden. You know, God created the universe. Man fell. Man needed a redeemer, Jesus Christ, to redeem us so we can have a personal relationship with him and go to heaven. That is basically the biblical gospel message, both Old Testaments and New Testaments, because the Old Testament pointed to Jesus. I believe I would debate with both an atheist who says there's no God because of atheist evolution, but I would debate with you also who says we have to take Genesis literally, and if you want to be a Bible believer, you can't believe in any evolution. I was confirmed last year, and going through the classes, so my idea is, my question is, don't you believe in a third alternative that God is not in competition with science? We can believe in both evolution and in God because of what the gospel.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, I'm gentlemen. Hold on. I have to be the commercial sheriff. We need to take we're going to take a 1 minute timeout, and it'll be the last one, and then we'll have 8 minutes left to chat. So we'll be right back after this. Precious minutes left. We have 8 minutes left. In fact, now Bruce, I understand you wanted to talk about Emmett's comments and question.
Yeah, because Emmett is a very sincere Christian, and it is a very, very common attitude. We'll just get rid of the whole controversy and say God used evolution. Just a couple points I want Emmett to consider. First of all, evolution is used in multiple ways. It's used to mean that animals can adapt and change and fit into different environments, and that's absolutely true because they're designed to do so. But, Jesus said, have you not read at the beginning of creation, God made male and females? Now, there were words for huge periods of time. The beginning means the beginning. So if you're going to reject Genesis, you have to start rejecting the words of Jesus, which affects all the credibility of the Bible. Second, evolution does not work scientifically. No chemicals have ever been shown to come alive. The majority of dating methods show there has been a recent creation. They're just ignored and rejected and censored. We're finding soft dinosaur tissue or soft undecayed proteins in fossils across the board, hundreds of examples that can't be there unless they were buried during Noah's flood. The flood would have laid down the fossils rapidly and recently, not over millions of years. The Bible says 10 times creatures reproduce after their own kind. See, God's word gives us a model to understand biology. Very supernatural creations of very different forms of life. You have to just ignore all that. Every time the word yom, which is day, is used with a number, it means a normal day. You have to ignore all that to combine it with evolution. It gives us a model for geology. A worldwide flood created the rocks, layers, reaches the land rapidly. You have to ignore all that. So basically what you're doing as a Christian is telling people everything God's word has to say about the past, about geology, about biology, about cosmology. It's all wrong. It doesn't mean what it says, but you've got to believe it later when it talks about spiritual stuff. Jesus said to Nicodemus, right before John 3:16, if you don't believe me when I tell you of worldly things, how will you believe me when I tell you of spiritual things?
So the two problems with your approach is you are discrediting God's word and then expecting it to be believed later. You can't believe what it says in a clear, straightforward way. And you're accepting what the world says about evolution when it is testably, systematically, cannot possibly be true. And I just understand what you're doing. You're destroying the credibility in Christianity by ignoring the early parts of the Bible.
All right, thanks for the call. And we still have 5 minutes left. Should we get one more call in?
Can
sure.
I say something?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I was a Roman Catholic. When I finished my master's degree, I decided, well, I'm going to examine some controversial issues. And evolution is very controversial. So I examined it. And I discovered, as a Roman Catholic, that evolution had hardly any evidence for it. And it greatly shocked me. And, for instance, all biology is so complicated that even one step in evolution could not have happened in billions of years. You can show this by simple probability. Secondly, the fossil record does not show evolution. And... by the way, we're talking about macroevolution, molecules to man, not slight changes in dogs, which is called microevolution, even though I don't believe it's evolution, but we observe that. But we don't observe the molecules to man. Also, you got to have chemicals going to the first cell, and they've been trying to figure that out for 80 years and haven't got hardly anywhere. So some of the evidence against evolution is easy to see. And by the way, I'll be speaking to that for the youth, that topic, and it's not difficult. So if evolution's not true, there's no reason why I should marry the Bible and creation with evolution. So I've examined that issue long ago as a Roman Catholic, and
all right.
That's what I discovered.
Okay, let's get one more call in before we have to wrap things up. Ed, thanks for holding. Go ahead, sir. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'll be quick. Back to Glacial Lake, Missoula. And it was controversial. The fellow who proposed that the lake changed the landscape of eastern Washington and Oregon, it really, really wasn't believed until we sent satellites up in space taking pictures in orbit, taking pictures, and it was immediately accepted that Glacial Lake Missoula did cause these changes in the landscape of eastern Washington and Oregon. So in any event, that's all I want to say. Pretty minor point, but thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks for the call. We have about 2.5 minutes left, gentlemen, so let's use those. Please, go ahead. Someone is trying to break in. Go ahead, please.
Good point. Yes, good point. It was rejected mainly because it was too biblical in scale. That was the reason. And there were hundreds of pieces of evidence for it, even without the satellite. And they failed to see that evidence. And it's the same with the Genesis flood. There's hundreds of pieces of evidence for that on the surface of the earth, which I will point out in one of my talks. And yet they will miss it because their mindset, it's a psychological thing, is geared to slow processes over millions of years. And that's why they rejected the Lake Missoula flood because of the huge scale of it. And that's why they don't see evidence for the Genesis flood and its runoff especially.
Okay, we have exactly 2 minutes. So we need to talk about the conference. Is there a charge? You know, basically facts about the conference that's coming up starting tomorrow.
Everybody loves free stuff, right? Like listening on this program. Yes, the conference, go to iba777.org to get the conference schedule, the brochure, and a register of what you've heard. We have international speakers, Bruce Malone, Michael Lord, Dr. Kevin Horton at Cross Point Church Friday night. Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday night. There's some field trips. We feel like the world needs to hear this more and more, that science supports the Bible. It is true. It hasn't discredited the Bible. And boy, do we need hope in our culture and our world today. So we got youth programs on Saturday morning and afternoon. Please come to those. These speakers are traveling to Missoula to spend time with your youth to give them answers. We need solid answers, and we need to go We need to know where to go for truth and that absolute authority, and that is God's word. So, by the way, you can live stream this too. We love to live stream our conferences all over the country. So you can live stream it by go to that website and hit the button. And we just hope you'll enjoy the conference. Come, questions, resources, come join us.
Gentlemen, thank you. And thank you for our guests on the phone. We appreciate your participation today. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Now, Nick, we need to talk about what's coming up on tomorrow's fabulous program, sir.
Yeah, we're going to talk with Crystal from Angelman Walk from 8:30 to 9, and then Attorney General Austin Knutson will be on 9 to 10 on the phone.
All right, there you go. That's going to be great, and we appreciate all of the guests and all of your calls this morning. It was a great conversation. We appreciate it, and we thank each and every one of you for listening and participating. Get out there and enjoy this absolutely spectacular day, and Ace will be talking to you tomorrow morning at 6.